the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see you in church this morning for our baptism Sundays. I absolutely love baptism Sundays, and it's such a joy this morning to see Jess and Fu get baptized. Jess is somebody that I remember coming up through the children's groups that I used to run, and then I had the privilege of having Fu in one of my groups in Gravitate. Fu was, I think, probably the only young person I've ever known who came to a daytime session with a duvet. So that's a really cool way to arrive, to make sure you're comfy for the session and hopefully not fall asleep. But yeah, what do you preach about on Baptism Sunday? It's got to be something watery, hasn't it? That's what you'd have thought. But I'm not going to speak about anything watery. When I heard that I was going to be preaching on Baptism Sunday a few months ago, I thought immediately, I want to preach about the vine and the branches in John chapter 15. And if you want to reach down in front of the seat in front of you, there's one of these green Bibles, and on page 1022, page 1023, you'll find John chapter 15. If you're not used to looking at the Bible, the really big numbers are the chapter numbers. So that's, we're going to look at chapter 15, and then the little numbers in the text as you go along, those are the verse numbers, and we're going to be looking at the first six verses. As I say, I felt a few months ago I should definitely preach on this, and it's interesting, it's one of the verses that was chosen this morning, was from John chapter 15. But then a couple of weeks ago I had a bit of a wobble, and I suddenly thought it really isn't wet enough. You know, vines are great, but they're nothing to do with baptism. Maybe I should go for something that's water-themed. So I did what I always do in these circumstances. I prayed to God and I said, Lord, if I shouldn't be preaching on this passage, please show me, and show me I should be preaching on something else. But if I should be preaching on this, it'd be really cool if you just gave me a little bit of an indication that it's the right way to go. Well, as many of you know, my wife Sarah has been going through cancer treatment for the past 9 months, and I wanted to say a big thank you to you as our church family. You've been brilliant at supporting us as we've been going through that journey, so thank you for that. So many people have been praying. One person said, I'm definitely going to pray for you, but I'm also going to make something for you, and she's a stone carver, and last weekend she brought round the carving that she'd be making while she'd been praying for Sarah. I had no idea what it was going to be. Can you guess what it's going to be? That's what it was. Isn't that great? So I thought, okay, that's a lovely vine with a lovely fruitful bunch of grapes on it. I've got to preach about John 15 this morning. So that's why on a watery Sunday, we're looking at the garden. So there we go, John 15. John 15 begins with Jesus saying, I am the true vine. Now, Jesus says some weird things, but that's got to be right up there, hasn't it? I am the true vine. What's all that about? That's a really strange thing to say, isn't it? To understand that, we need to remember that Jesus grew up in a Jewish family, in a completely Jewish environment, and therefore what we call the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, the Hebrew Scriptures, would have absolutely saturated his mind and his worldview. And when he talked about the vine, he was picking up on a picture that we see in the Old Testament quite a lot, a picture of Israel, which is often portrayed as a vine or a vineyard. And when Jesus says, I am the true vine, he's thinking of something like this. We had Isaiah quoted this morning as well when someone was getting baptized, didn't we? But in Isaiah chapter 5, for example, one of the great Old Testament prophecies, there's a song of the vineyard. And God says, my loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. And God explains how he did everything possible to make this vineyard as fruitful as it could possibly be. All the conditions were there. God had done everything he could possibly do. And then comes this terrible line, but it yielded only bad fruit. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, he's saying what Israel was called to do, but signally failed to do, I have come to do in the power that God has given me through his Holy Spirit and that I have intrinsically as his son. So I'm going to do what Israel didn't manage to do. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. God the Son, God the Father, working together to produce fruit through God's Holy Spirit work in our lives. That's what we've got in these verses. As we go through the verses, we're not going to read a huge amount this morning. We're just going to read verses 2 to 6. And we're going to see that there are three kinds of branches that are mentioned in relation to Jesus as the vine. And I hope that each of those types of branches will speak to at least somebody in this room. We believe that when we open God's word, we hear his voice. And my prayer is that this morning we will hear God speak to us as we open his word and read the words of Jesus himself and see what they have to say to us. Okay, so three types of branches. Let's see if we can spot them as we're going through. Verse 2. So, God the gardener cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You, speaking to his disciples, his audience here, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Those are the verses we're going to look at, and we're going to look at three types of branches in reverse order from the way that we've just read them. So we're going to start with our first branch, which is that last one that we read about in verse 6. I know we've only just read it, but I'm going to read it again. This is the type of branch that is just not in Jesus, is not connected to Jesus. He says, verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. Now, I'm sorry, that's not a very positive verse to start our sermon on, is it? And I'm sorry about that. But you know what? We believe in this church that the whole of the Bible needs to be preached. And we need to look at the verses that Jesus speaks that aren't very comfortable, as well as the ones that are wonderful. And this is one of those verses which is a difficult verse. And some of you might be here for the first time in church today. If it's your first time in church, you are so welcome to be with us here. It's absolutely wonderful that you've come to see your family and friends get baptized. It's just absolutely lovely to see you. But when you read verses like that, you might be thinking, what on earth is going on? What is this whole Jesus thing talking about? I just don't get that at all. Life, death, eternity, everything hinges on whether I'm connected to this guy Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago. Really? Is that true? And I appreciate that that might seem like an utterly extraordinary claim, but we believe that is the truth as Christians. Now, if you're not convinced by that, that's great, because that means you'd be a great person to come along to something that we run every single term here at church, which is our Knowing God course. And the people who run this, they love having difficult questions. Honestly, I can say that because I don't run it. They love having difficult questions. So if you've got anything that is on your mind that you just don't get or you think is really strange or just disagree with about Christianity, don't just leave it. Come and talk to people who want to talk about those things with you. Something like the Knowing God course would be great. And there's a meal as well. It's perfect. It's really good. I'm sure you'd enjoy it. But the worst possible thing that we can do when we hear Jesus' words, if they shock us or upset us, is to go, eh, whatever. We need to have a response, and it needs to be an informed response to what Jesus says is the truth. Now, having got the difficult verse, if I can put it that way, out of the way at the start, I want to really say one other thing in relation to this type of branch, and it is that it's absolutely not what God wants for any of his children. Absolutely not what he wants. If we want to know what God wants for us, we need to go back a little bit in the Gospel of John, and we need to go to what is probably the most famous Bible verse of all, the one that they drape over the side of the terraces in football stadiums and sports arenas around the world. It's that John 3:16 verse that says, God so loved the world. He so loved you and me individually. Loved us so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not be like a branch that withers and that is gathered up and that burns up, but have eternal life. That is God's heart for you this morning, and it's his heart for me. He is a good, good father. I always have to hold it together when we sing that song because it makes me want to cry, because our Father is a good, good father. It's who he is. It's who he is. That's branch number one. Not in Jesus. Branch number two. Have a look at verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So here's our second type of branch. This is a branch that is in Jesus and that is fruitful. And really, that's what we've come to celebrate this morning, isn't it? When our people who are getting baptized this morning were coming down the steps and coming into the pool, and they went down into the water and came up again, we were celebrating the lives of people who are saying, I am connected to Jesus Christ. His life is in me. And now I am bearing fruit for his name and for his glory. It was a lovely, lovely celebration this morning as we saw that happening. In Jesus and fruitful. Two things to say about this type of branch. The first is, and you'll have seen it as we read through, just how important the idea of remaining in Jesus is. We got it again and again, didn't we? The older version of the Bible uses the word abide. Abide in me. Remain in me. And for those of you who've got baptized this morning, and for anybody else who's been baptized, let's just remind ourselves that there is nothing more important in a Christian life than remaining in Jesus Christ. We can do 500,000 things for God. We can be as busy as we like, but if we are not remaining in Jesus Christ and he remaining in us, then we are missing the heart of Christianity. So whatever you do, Jess and Fu and the rest of us in your Christian lives, never ever miss out on remaining in Jesus Christ. Make that the absolute focus of what you do as a Christian. Spend time in his word. Just soak it up. Spend time in his presence in prayer and in worship. And then the fruit will come. Trees. Vine is a tree, basically, isn't it? Trees don't go, oh, it must be more fruitful. At least I don't think they do. I don't think they do. I think what happens with a tree, this is ridiculous, but I think what happens with a tree is that the life comes up and then just kind of flows out into the branches, and naturally the leaves come, the buds come, the fruit comes. And it's because the branches that bear the fruit are attached to the trunk or the vine, isn't it? That's the way it works. So let's focus on remaining in Jesus, and the fruit will come. The fruit will come. So that's really important. The second thing to notice from our verses is that we're going to get pruned. Are you gardeners? I don't know if any of you are gardeners. Pruning is something that gardeners do a lot of. We have pruning shears somewhere. I don't know. But anyway, this is what God the gardener does. It says, doesn't it, at the top of page 1023, verse 2, second half, every branch that does bear fruit, God the gardener prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Pruning. When I used to read this verse for many, many years, I assumed that the stuff that God would prune was bad stuff. I just kind of thought that it's the attitude in my heart that isn't very loving. It's the things that I do that aren't very Christ-like. It's the habits that I have that I really shouldn't have. It's that kind of stuff that I assumed was the pruning stuff. And I'm sure that's true. I'm absolutely sure that God wants to cut away that stuff in our life, the useless stuff if we're following him. But actually, pruning, usually, I'm reliably informed, involves cutting off stuff that's perfectly healthy. Because you want the fruit to be channeled down a particular branch. You want the growth to come and the fruitfulness to come in a particular area. And I think we need to hear that as well from these verses if we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this can be quite hard sometimes, that God wants to prune us. And that does mean sometimes stuff that's absolutely good and wonderful and marvelous and great, but that it just isn't where the fruit's going to come. And sometimes that can be true for us personally, and sometimes it can be true for us as a church. That sometimes the stuff we've been doing for years, and it's good stuff, but it isn't where the fruit's going to come. So we need to be asking the Holy Spirit to be doing that work of pruning in our lives and in our churches, because that's how we're going, Jesus says, to become even more fruitful. Probably won't be very pleasant, but it is necessary to be fruitful for him. So there we are. That's our second branch. And now we've got our final branch, branch number three. Branch number three is the one that we read about in the first half of that second verse of John 15. Jesus says, he cuts off, the gardener, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Okay? So this time we've had branches not in Jesus. We've had branches that are in Jesus and are fruitful. And now we've got branches that are in Jesus but are not fruitful. Okay, that's our third type of branch that we've got to. There is an interesting thing in the original Greek. If you're unfamiliar with the Bible, again, I should explain the New Testament was originally written in Greek. Jesus spoke a different language again called Aramaic. But when they came to write his story, they had to write it in a language that people would understand, and very few people understood Aramaic. But the whole world at the time in the Mediterranean area spoke Greek. So the Bible's written, the New Testament's written in Greek. And in this verse 2, where it says, he cuts off every branch, there's a special Greek word. It's not a special Greek word. It's a Greek word that's used there. It's a very common Greek word, actually. It's the word iro, the verb iro. It's used a lot in the Bible, and it's an utterly infuriating word, because it can mean two completely different things. And the only way you can tell which one it means is the context. And in this particular context, it's not much help, because either would work. So you have to make a choice. Does it mean cut off, or does it mean pick up? Because the Greek word means both. So for example, John chapter 5, a bit earlier in the gospel, Jesus at a pool actually heals a man who's paralyzed. And he says to him, pick up your mat and walk. He's using the word iro. Iro your mat and walk. Pick it up. Don't cut it off. Pick it up and walk. So what is it that's being referred to here by Jesus? Is God the gardener cutting off every branch, or is he picking it up? I think for me, it makes more sense to think of him picking it up rather than cutting it off. And there's a Bible teacher whose name is Bruce Wilkinson, who has a story to tell in one of his books that really supports this view. Bruce Wilkinson is, I think, American. He certainly went to a Californian vineyard one day, and where better to go than a vineyard to kind of try and understand a bit more about John chapter 15. And he started talking to the farmer who grew the grapes. And he said, the farmer explained to me, new branches have a natural tendency in the vine to trail down and to grow along the ground, but they don't bear fruit down there. When branches grow along the ground, the leaves get coated in dust, and when it rains, they get muddy and mildewed, and the branch becomes sick and useless. And I guess Bruce Wilkinson's cogs were whirring at this stage. He was thinking, John 15, John 15, John 15. So he asked him, what do you do? Do you cut it off and throw it away? John 15, do you do that? And the farmer said to him, oh, no, we don't do that. The branch is much too valuable for that. Think of the potential in that branch. What we do is we go through the vineyard with a bucket of water looking for those branches, and we lift them up. If he'd been speaking Greek, we iro them and we wash them off. And then we wrap them around the trellis or tie them up. And pretty soon, they are thriving. And I love that picture because I love the idea that God the gardener goes through his vineyard and he looks for those branches that aren't doing so well. And he washes them off and he picks them up so that they can become fruitful. There is one Bible translation that I know of called The Passion, which has this sense in its rendering of John 15, verse 2. They translate it like this in that version. God the gardener, the Father cares for the branches connected to me. Two types of branches that are connected to me, two different types of care. Firstly, by lifting and propping up, one Greek word, aire, the fruitless branches, and pruning, another Greek word, kathaire, every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. You see how similar the two words are in Greek? And I think what the passage is saying, what John is saying to us, is that God is caring for both types of branches. In one case, lifting up, aire, in another, pruning, kathaire. But in both cases, he's caring for the branches that are in his vine. So, we're nearly done. The big question for all of us is, which branch are we? How do we apply this passage into our lives? How do we feel in relation to what we've read? Which branch are we? Which branch would we like to be? What's preventing us, perhaps, from being one rather than the other? I wonder if you know that you're the not in Jesus type of branch. Our first type of branch. If that's you this morning, I just repeat how welcome you are at any time ever in this church. We love having people with us who don't know Jesus yet. I just urge you to remember John 3:16. God so loved you. You. Personally, you. That what did he do? He gave his one and only son, the most precious thing that he had. That you should not perish, not be like that kind of branch, but should have everlasting life. And then we had our second type of branch, the type of branch that we've seen in Fu and Jess's testimony this morning and in their lives, and we look forward to seeing them becoming even more fruitful as they are following the Lord. Two things. If we're in that situation, remain above all else in Jesus. Cultivate that relationship before you do anything else with the Lord. And expect some pruning. Expect some pruning. Because that's how God makes us more fruitful. And finally, we've got this last type of branch. We're in Jesus. That's what he says in verse 2, but we're not fruitful. I think that what Jesus is saying to us in John 15 is he wants to lift us up. If we're in that situation, he wants to prop us up. He doesn't want to cut us off. He wants to support us and help us get back to a stage where we can be growing fruit for him once again. The Jesus I know is the Jesus who won't break a bruised reed. The Jesus who won't snuff out a smoldering wick. I think that's the Jesus who will prop up branches that are struggling. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you so much for the words of Jesus. We hear so much rubbish in our lives. So much fake news, so much nonsense, so much jockeying for position. So much violence, so much unpleasantness. And then we hear the words of Jesus. We hear the words of Jesus speak truth and speak grace and speak love and speak simply, speak wholesomely, speak fruitfully. Lord, will you take the words that we've read together this morning and Holy Spirit, please apply them to our hearts and to our minds and to our lives. Thank you that you love every single one of us. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you, God the Son, willingly came to do the bidding of God the Father. And we thank you, God the Spirit, that you produce fruit in our lives as we submit to you. Lord, whatever we need to hear from you this morning, may we have heard it, and may you continue to do your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.